Well, we're in lesson 21 today of our study in the book of Galatians, and today we're going to be in chapter 5, verse 20, and I've titled this lesson, Idols, Hatred, and Discord. As we go through the next several days, what I'm really doing is breaking down each of these different things that Paul is describing as evidences of the flesh, of works of the flesh, and then we're going to break down the fruit of the Spirit and talk about them a little bit more in depth instead of just trying to kind of cover over them generally. So today we're going to be in chapter 5, verse 20. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and open there. Idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions. So we're moving forward in this list today. We're not going to cover all of these today. I'm going to split these up so that we can look at them closely. While these may not initially create the same ouch that yesterday's lesson did, I hope that if we're being honest with ourselves, we'll let God convict us on these as well, because in my opinion, and it's an opinion, but these are things that we should all be able to relate to and to see ourselves reflected in. So starting with idolatry and sorcery, I lumped these two together for a reason because I think they're really companions. Sorcery is idolatry, after all. You're placing your spells and incantations and, for today's Wiccans, the goddess before God. Anytime you put something in the place of God, you've created an idol. These are ways to access evil spiritual beings and at the same time rejecting God and refusing to worship Him. We are all created to worship something, and we will all serve something. We'll make an idol out of anything. Some people make work an idol. Some people make success an idol. Your children can be an idol. Your marriage, your spouse. Pretty much anything that you pursue to fill you up and satisfy you is an idol. If I put so much of my hope into my children, then what happens when they fail me? What happens when they don't do something perfectly? My hopes have been shattered. Where do I go from here? In Paul's time, he used sorcery to directly refer to any real or pretended association with Satan, any effort to know the future by attempting to contact spirits, any effort to gain knowledge that God has purposely not given us by mystical means. The Bible even specifically mentions astrology as a form of witchcraft sorcery and as something that is sinful. The practice of sorcery, again, is the attempt to usurp God's power and place something else ahead of Him, usually ourselves and our own power. In Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 9 through 14, it spells this out clearly where God is giving the people His directions. And He says, "When you come into the land that the Lord your God is giving you, you shall not learn to follow the abominable practices of those nations. There shall not be found among you anyone who burns his son or daughter as an offering, anyone who practices divination or tells fortunes or interprets omens, or a sorcerer or a charmer or a medium or a necromancer or anyone who inquires of the dead. For whoever does these things is an abomination to the Lord. And because of these abominations, the Lord your God is driving them out before you. You shall be blameless before the Lord your God, for these nations, which you are about to dispossess, listen to fortune tellers and to diviners. But as for you, the Lord your God has not allowed you to do this." So we need to be very careful about using anything and placing it in front of God. Idols can come in many shapes and sizes, those workaholics who make work their idol. But what happens when they don't get that promotion or they don't get the accolades that they want? When we put our hope in anything besides Christ, when those things fail us, and they will fail us, we are crushed and have no idea where to go. This is what leads to those people who, when their children don't live up to them to their standard perfectly or to doing whatever they wanted them to do, to reliving their own childhood, these are the people who then react with anger and with resentment and even sometimes with hatred toward their children. So we want to be careful and make sure that we are worshiping what it is appropriate to worship. And the only thing appropriate to worship is God. Hatred. Now, this isn't the "I hate Brussels sprouts" kind of hatred that Paul is talking about here. Although I do hate Brussels sprouts, and if you ever invite me over for dinner, please don't serve Brussels sprouts because I don't think I can even eat them to be polite. Paul is talking about hatred toward our fellow people, even our enemies. Remember, Jesus told us to pray for our enemies and to bless those who persecute us. If that's what we're to do, does hatred play any part in our lives? Remember, we are called to love. The whole law is summed up as love your neighbor as yourself, right? So hatred is the opposite of love. Is it a surprise that this would be on the list? Let's dig into this a little deeper. We're told in 1 John chapter 3, verses 14 through 15, we know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brothers. Whoever does not love abides in death. Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. Hating our brothers or sisters is in your heart murdering them. Now, I know several people who are so consumed with hatred that there is little to no joy left in their lives. Let me describe what that hatred of another person has done to the hater. Everything comes back to the one that they hate. No matter what goes wrong in their lives, it somehow is the person who they hate, it's their fault. I've even heard one of them say that they wish that the object of their hatred was dead. And let me tell you, this wasn't just something that you say. Clearly the intent of murder was truly in this person's heart. And the result in the life of the person doing the hating? They're mean, bitter, depressed, downtrodden people who can see no way out of the despair they're in. Does that sound like fun to you? Let me tell you, it isn't fun to even be around them. I cannot imagine how hard it is to be them. Hatred is poison, ladies. We're told to love our enemies, to forgive those who sin against us, not merely for their benefit, but for ours. Remember, the measure you use for others is the measure that will be used for you. Where you withhold forgiveness from others, it will be withheld from you. Watch for those seeds of hatred. You may not be able to let it all go in one fell swoop, and that's okay. You may need time for God to work on your heart until you want to forgive that person, and then time for God to help you to actually forgive them, but he will help you. Trust me, I've been there, where for months I prayed that God would help me to want to forgive someone, and it was hard. There was a grieving process, but I knew it was necessary, and I approached it with the attitude that I knew it was going to hurt, but it also needed to happen. Also notice, we're always called to forgiveness, but we're not always called into reconciliation. You are called to forgive that person who abused you, but especially if there's no repentance on their part. That doesn't mean you need to be best friends with them. Okay, the last one for today. This one strikes close to home because I know that I have been guilty of this much in the past and probably still in the present, although I know that I'm much more aware of it when I do it today than I was even a decade ago. Discord. Discord covers more than just lack of peace. Discord is fighting. Discord is a lack of agreement and harmony. Things are not smooth when discord is occurring. Discord is lack of contentment. It's a series of what you perceive as disappointments that color your whole outlook to the point that everything is wrong. Here are some common things that you'll hear yourself say if you are in a state of discord. If only my children would behave so that I could fill in the blank. If only we had more money, then we could blank. If only I was still in love with my spouse, then I might blank. If only we had a bigger house, then I could blank. Do you see the common factor? It's the if onlys. You can fill it in yourself with whatever your own personal if only is. If you're waiting for an if only or a one day before you experience joy or peace or contentment and are truly able to bloom where God has you planted without looking for the next thing, chances are you're in a state of discord. You might also notice a tendency of yours towards sarcasm and cynicism. Every glass is half empty. Every blessing could have been better. The good news is that you don't have to stay there. When we let go of our expectations and open ourselves up to where he has placed us and what he wants us to do, that sense of peace and contentment is ours, ladies. Suddenly, even that house that feels a bit cramped or cluttered, even that car that might give up at any moment, even that child who doesn't seem to hear you 80% of the time, all of those are his will. And when we relax and allow ourselves to be in his will and let him guide us and follow his precepts and do what he asks of us with a cheerful heart and a delighted attitude, you'll be amazed at the blessings you receive. I'm not saying plaster a smile on your face and pretend like everything is okay when it's not. But when we look at things and we're looking for the bad things instead of looking at things and asking God to give us grace for the moment, we're setting ourselves up for failure. It may not be the blessings that you so desperately want at this moment, but when you open your eyes to the blessings that he has given you, when you're truly able to recognize the rose growing in the asphalt, your desires will change to line up with his will for you. Remember, his will is to be done, not, here's my list, God, of the things that I want, now do it. That's the opposite of discord, I think, is contentment. We need to learn, as Paul expressed in his letter to Philippi, to be content in every circumstance, knowing we are where we are for God's purpose. When we are content, we will bloom wherever we are planted, and all of that will be for His glory forever and ever. Anger, I think, is the common binding thread between discord and hatred. Do you see what happens when you sin in your anger? We're told in Ephesians 4:26, "In your anger, do not sin, and do not let the sun go down while you are still angry." Anger isn't the problem, but when we let anger take control, these are some of the traps that we fall into. So my question for us today is this. Where do you see idols in your life? What are you putting in front of God? Where do you see strife? Can you see how your anger may have brought you to where you are? Ask God where there is an idol in your life that needs to be removed or changed to focus on Him. Ask Him where there is hatred and bitterness growing in your heart and catch that before it gets out of control. Ask Him where there is discord and discontent in your heart and ask Him to help you to see why you have been planted where you are with what you have been given and ask Him to help you to bloom as He desires right where you are. Ladies, you can find the notes for this study under the Bible Studies tab on the website naomistable.com, day 21, Idols, Hatred, Discord.